Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, some of you may think this is weird, but I loved it. I've been wanting to talk to a psychic medium for some time now, but never knew who to trust. I learned about Nancy Matz through a friend of mine and decided to take a chance and call her. I learned about my children, my job, and other fun mystical stuff. I was so impressed. She was right on with so many things. After talking to Nancy Matz, I walked away feeling great. Call her 916-773-1657 or nancymatz.com. That's nancymatz.com.
Well, good evening, everybody. And it's the middle of July. Are you guys suffering from the heat like we are in Arizona? I've been comparing notes with all my friends across the United States and even up in Washington, they had a heat spell, and Little Back East, they've had a heat spell. Kind of wondering what's happening to our weather patterns, right? Well, I hope everybody's relaxed and sitting back and kind of either have a cup of coffee or you're in a cooler climate or in a warmer climate. Hopefully you have where's my coffee? I always prefer the warmer drink so I can keep talking. And if you're in the warmer climate, there it is. And you would like to have something cold to drink, I hope you're all relaxed and enjoying this evening. We have a special guest. I have a special guest to share with you tonight. You know, my husband and I have moved our motorhome up to Phoenix, and it's for a lot of different reasons. And shopping around the different stores, my husband likes to explore. So we thought it would be fun to go to certain different towns. And we found ourselves headed towards Scottsdale and looked at a telephone book that we had with us and said, oh, there's a metaphysical store in this area. I says, oh, Larry, of course I want to visit. And so we stopped in, and I have met the most lovely lady. And she and I were talking, and we kind of connected as the most beautiful little angel shop. Walk in, and it's just heavenly. When I say the word heavenly, what I'm speaking to is the divine feeling I got in there, not only from the beautiful wind chimes that got my attention and made the most beautiful little chipping sounds, but of the most beautiful angel visions I've ever seen, from every kind of little statuette to a wall gathered plaque things, whatever things hanging from the ceiling. And in the rear of the store was this lovely lady with just kind of a golden aura around her. And she and I started talking, and she told me of some of the things, unfortunate, unhappy, sad stories of her life. And I saw spirit people around her, and one of them was her brother. And so she and I just connected, and I thought you would enjoy hearing her story. And, of course, as soon as she told me, oh, my gosh, she told me of about so many things. But in the midst of all this, you know, we all have a journey, we all have a life, and we are the character of who we are from all the things we've witnessed and experienced, and hers included a near-death experience. And I would like to introduce to her, her name is Pamela, and she's going to let you know where she is and what she does and give us a little story, and the floor will be hers. And then, if you would like, you have some questions. I see the chat room. Frank's in the room. I think that's him and a couple of the people. So hold on. I see that you want my attention. But I'd like to have Pam have the floor. You know, I don't have too many guests, and I would love to have her share her story. So, Pam, are you there?
I am, Nancy. Good evening.
Hello there, Pam. You have the floor, my dear. Tell us of your life and your story about the near-death experience and anything else you would like to add.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for the introduction. My name is Pamela Walker, and I'm the owner of the largest angel store in the Southwest. It's called Angel Wings and Other Fine Things, and it's located in downtown Scottsdale on Fifth Avenue. The address is actually 7121 East Fifth Avenue, Suite 1 and 2, if anyone ever decides they'd like to come by the store. As you were saying, it is a phenomenal store. It's just got the best energy. I have people coming off the streets all the time saying that the energy drew them in, and they had no idea why they were in there. And 9 times out of 10, it'll end up being that they've lost a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had a near-death experience, and I was able to receive the gifts of being able to see spirit and hear spirit, I usually see who's with them and things, and we get to talking, and I usually tell them messages, or I have them get an appointment for an angel reading, and in which time I can call in their loved ones and let them speak to them. So it's been quite a place of healing for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the way it started was 1985, about 24 years ago, my 7-year-old son was killed by drowning in a feeding canal after some boys had pushed him in over a cap gun. And it was a little toy gun, and he wanted to be like me, and I was a police officer at the time. And he had gone out to play just for a few minutes before we left this pancake breakfast, and they wanted this cap gun, and they pushed him in and ran and didn't tell anyone. And so he swam for 3/4 of a mile and went under and never came back up. And I know my grandmother came for him right that instant, and that he didn't suffer at all. And Doreen Virtue, the renowned angel therapist, in fact, was the one that clarified that for me. But anyway, so I just always kind of beat myself up a lot over that. And even though it wasn't my fault, just he was my only son, and the loss was devastating for me. And it caused post-traumatic stress disorder on top of the post-traumatic stress disorder that I already had from being in the military. I was the first woman jet mechanic in the Navy, and I'd gotten hurt in the service and had a near-death experience then, but nothing like this one. And during the years that he was gone, a lot of things happened to me in my life, and my house burned down. I was hurt and had several back surgeries and knee surgeries and foot surgeries. And in my senior year, I decided to go back to ASU and get my degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my senior year in 2001, I was teaching a class for my internship at the Salvation Army daycare. And we were supposed to be working on a spiritual play that had a meaning, you know, a second message to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enjoyed this. And so I was working out there every day, and I noticed June 1st, I came home, and I was very, very tired, and so I went to bed early. And I lived with my boyfriend at the time, and I went to bed early, and I had a dream. And in this dream, everyone that had ever died in my whole life, from people that died in my arms in the military, roommates, my son, my dad, anyone that had ever died in my life came to me in this dream. And they talked to me, and they told me why they had been in my life and for what purpose. And, you know, my son told me why he left so soon, and that he was an old soul and an ascended master, and that he that we had all agreed in sacred contracts to be in each other's lives for a particular reason, to learn the lessons that we wanted to evolve our soul while we were on Earth. And so it was really different. But the biggest thing they told me, you know, I had started drinking, and it got kind of heavy just over the death of my son. I just didn't know how to deal with it. And at this particular time, I had joined AA, and I got sober. There goes my anonymity, but that's okay. Anyway, I had 18 months at this time. And, you know, wasn't taking any kind of drugs or drinking or anything like that. So to have this kind of an experience was really different for me, because usually my nightmares were always recurring nightmares of the tragedy.
Okay, so at this point, let me clarify, audience. At this point, she'd had so much trauma in her life, and she had gone into what we call a preference for escapism. And during this course, it sounds like, Pam, you'd had this dream that seemed so lifelike of all these spirit people visiting you. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
I believe what has happened is I went to them. I pierced the veil.
Ah.
And I went to them instead of them coming to me in the dreams, because usually all my dreams were nightmares. And in this particular dream, I was crying, but they were happy, joyful tears.
Now, this is important.
Yeah,
because this is going to build up to something here. This is amazing that she'd have this dream with all these these spirit people visiting with her. Okay, Pam, I want to make sure the audience had heard that part of the story, that this was a dream where all these spirit people were visiting with you.
Right. They were visiting with me, and they were all talking to me and telling me the reasons why they were in my life, and especially my dad, my son, roommates. But I had people that died in my arms in the military that were there, and just, you know, people during my life that had died, and, you know, around me, you know, in my arms usually. And it was just so different because, like I said, I used to only have nightmares, and that comes from the post-traumatic stress disorder, the recurring nightmares. And this one was such a joyful dream, and I was so at peace and so serene, and the tears were of joy. And my boyfriend came to bed, and when he did, he woke me up, and that, you know, the tears were running down my face. And I told him everything that happened in this dream, everybody that talked to me, what they said and everything. And I was, I mean, I felt like I was in ecstasy, you know, just unbelievable, you know. And so we went to bed, and the next morning, I'm not a morning person, mind you, and this is really important. I am definitely not a morning person, and I was awake at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I had all this energy, and I got my coffee, and I got my schoolwork, and I read the paper, and I, you know, just way early before school. And that's how it all started, was with this dream. So I went to school, and this was like on June 1st, okay, of 2001. And that's important because I'm Catholic, and that happened to be Pentecost, the weekend for Pentecost Sunday. And when I went to school, I just had all this energy, and I was, you know, with the kids, all these new ideas were coming for this play that we were writing, and I had to write the scripts with the kids and design the costumes and all this. And so for 2 weeks, I just had all this energy. But the things that were happening during these 2 weeks was that I was getting messages, and I was seeing visions.
Wow.
And I was hearing voices off the radio, off the TV, off just weird things. And I'd be driving down the freeway home, and weird messages were coming to me. And things were, you know, I was hearing all these voices, and I couldn't understand.
Welcome to my world, huh? This is not uncommon, everybody. Go ahead.
In fact, there was my speaker on my car radio speaker had a crack in it where my boyfriend had put his knee. He was paralyzed. He had a traumatic brain injury, and he was in the wheelchair. And that's really important. He was in a wheelchair and hadn't walked in 12 years.
Mm.
And so he at one time had cracked this cover on this speaker. So I'm driving down the road one day, and I get this message. And I want proof. You know, I just don't. I said, well, you know, if this is really God and this is really Jesus and everything's okay that I'm getting these messages, you know, prove it to me, you know. And that crack, it went away instantly. It like just melted together. And I pulled off the freeway off the side of the road, and I looked at this thing, and I like couldn't believe that there was no longer a crack there. And I went home, and I brought Brad out in his wheelchair, and I said, remember when you broke the crack on the speaker? And he said, yeah. And I said, look at it. And he says, what'd you do, buy a new one? And I said, no, it fixed itself by itself. And, you know, with his traumatic brain injury, he didn't really have, he was very intelligent, but he wouldn't have opinions per se or emotions where he wouldn't get real excited. He just always was very, very calm, patient man.
Mm-hmm.
Except that the flare-ups that come with the brain injury where he'd get angry out of control by himself. But anyway, so this went on for like 2 weeks. And then one night my girlfriend came over, and we were going to go to a meeting to see someone get their chip. And I wanted to wear a special outfit. And I just got a couple new dresses. So I went to put the dress on, and the whole side of the dress was completely ripped out. So I said, what's up with this? And I went and got the other dress, and the same thing. It had, like, just somebody just did not want me to wear that. It had ripped out the whole sides of these dresses. So I decided to wear this angel outfit that I had, and I had this made, and it was a jacket and a T-shirt and a brim hat. It had 13 angels on it, because I was born on the 13th, and I had it designed with 13 angels. Mm-hmm. Well, the T-shirt was missing, and I looked everywhere. We searched everything, even the garage. There was nowhere to be found. So I had to wear a different outfit, a different angel shirt. So 2 days later, I woke up, and this angel shirt is hanging in my closet. But the thing, and that was real freaky, because it wasn't 13 angels anymore. It now had 15 angels. And we counted and counted and counted, and it was just like unbelievable. By this time, I'm tape recording everything because I can no longer journal everything that's happening to me. So when I got back from that meeting that night, Brad and I got ready to go to bed. Excuse me. And the lights started flashing on and off in the different rooms. And I woke him up and I said, do you see what's going on? And he says, yeah. And it would be on like in one room, and then it would go off, and then it would go on in another room, and it would go off. And it was just like really weird that the lights were going on and off and stuff like that. And then I heard the voice that I was supposed to rub my hands on Brad's legs. And he was, you know, this is 3:00 in the morning, and he's put up with me doing these things for 2 weeks of hearing all this stuff and telling him all this stuff and taking the tape recorder to bed with me. And so he'd get mad and he'd take the tape recorder and he'd put it up on the dresser, and it would end up back in bed with me. You know, I'd wake up and there it would be. Sometimes there'd be recordings on it that I didn't record. In fact, one time I went to church with my mom and it recorded itself.
Mm.
So I know that this is all weird, and I know it's about near-death experiences, but this is what it's leading up to. So I did rub his legs and everything, and it ended up that 2 weeks later, we had him walking on a walker for the first time in 12 years. So he does now walk with a walker and doesn't have to be wheelchair-bound all the time, and uses a motorized cart, scooter, to get to and from work and volunteer services that he does. So where he spent 12 years just sitting in an apartment writing on a computer. So it was major miracles there. But to go back, I went to school, and this was on the 13th of June. And we had the kids out on the playground, and they were playing soccer. Kickball, you know, soccer.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not soccer, but kickball. What we used to play, you know. And I was so busy watching them and telling them, you know, run to first base. No, you run to third now, because they'd never played kickball. And the one running home, I didn't see him. I had my back turned, and he hit me so hard that he just floored me. Mm-hmm. And so I fell, and I really hurt my back, and I was trying to keep my composure, so I didn't want to cry in front of the kids, but I couldn't get up. So one of the bigger kids did help me up, said, are you okay, you know, and stuff. And so I got them all back into the classroom, and I told the supervisor that I had to leave and go to the hospital. So I drove myself instead of waiting for an ambulance, because I was all the way over at the Salvation Summer Day camp on the other side of the world compared to where Scottsdale is. And so I drove myself in pain, horrific pain, all the way to North Scottsdale Hospital. And when I got there, they x-rayed me and all this stuff, but they couldn't find anything wrong with my back as far as the x-ray showed. You know, and I did already have back surgery, so I had 6 screws and 2 rods in my back. And I was quite in pain. So I was seeing a pain management doctor. So I called my doctor, and I called my girlfriend, and she picked me up and took me over to him. And he gave me pain injections for the pain. And then he said, you know, sent me home and said if anything got worse during the night, to go to the emergency room. Well, during the night, I got worse and worse and worse. And when I would be talking, I'd be talking normal like this, and all of a sudden, I was talking. You couldn't understand the thing I'd say, and I would be asking for water. And so Brad would give me a little bit of water, and I was talking normal again. So I said, call 911. And so I could tell I was getting dehydrated quicker and quicker and quicker. And I just knew that I was dying. And so by the time they got there and they got me to the ICU, which was 5 minutes away, they were doing all these tests for like meningitis to see what was wrong with me, and doing x-rays, and they were going to do an MRI, and I didn't want them to do this MRI for some reason, other than the fact that I knew I had these rods in my back and they'll come out in a closed MRI. It has to be an open MRI. And they strapped me down to the table. And here I am, you know, I'm quite a tall woman and I've got large hands, and they've got me strapped down to this table on my wrist. And they were going to take me in for this MRI. And I said, no, you are not. Not against my will, you know. And so I would somehow manage to make my hands really tiny and slid them out of the restraints. And so that way I was more able to get my point across to them that they were not going to take me in for this MRI. So they finally did not. They changed their mind. But they said I was getting worse and worse. So they put me into an ICU room. And I was there, and they had me hooked up to all the IVs and everything. Well, to make a long story short, my temperature went up to 112. And for some reason, they don't know why, but my heart stopped. And when it did, I found myself having an out-of-body experience at first, because my body, my spirit had left my body and was hovering like in the corner of the room.
Oh, my.
Watching them work on me. And I could see everything that they were doing, and that they were trying very dramatically to get my heart started again, and the injection, the big needle cut that to come out with, and all the things you see them yelling on TV, you know, when somebody has their heart stopped and stuff like that. And
among all the chaos, the spirit person is looking down and saying, well, they're sure going to a lot of trouble. Maybe I don't want to go back.
Yeah, really, you know, it's like, and I was really, really at peace and very serene. I mean, I wasn't like all scared and, you know, oh my God, I'm dying, you know, help me, help me. You know, I was just really peaceful and very, very serene. Well, you know, one of the things that Nancy Kubler-Ross, if any of you know her, who
oh.
that was, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross?
Absolutely. That's one of my first reads in the 80s.
Right. She was from Paradise Valley, and she was the best known hospitalist and researchers on near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so between her and Moody and Ring and Morris and everybody, they had come up with like what they call a core experience. That's like the five stages of a near-death experience.
Hmm.
And the very first one is peace and a sense of well-being. And then the second one is separation from body. So here I've already done those two. And the third was entering darkness, then seeing the light, and then entering the light, which is exactly what happened to me. Because shortly after, you know, watching a little bit of this, I said, okay, this is all fine and good. What's happening? Well, I see this light. But it's at the end of a very, very dark tunnel, black tunnel. I mean, blacker than you've never seen this color black. I mean, total blackness with no light except for at the very, very far end. And it's not like it's a bright light, but it's not one that hurts your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But I travel down this tunnel. I mean, lightning speeds. Faster than the speed of light, didn't it? It was just like, you know, flying just so fast. And I've read stories and stuff where some of them walk down the dark, you know, the tunnel and things like that. But with me, I literally just flipped through there. And when I got to the light, I did enter the light. Now, they say that entering the light's fine as long as you don't stay there. Some say that if you stay too long, you won't come back. You will be dead. You know, that means that you died when you stay too long there and you continuously see this light. But with me, I went to the light and I met Jesus. And he put me through 12 rooms of knowledge. And yet, remember, when they do bring me back, needless to say, I mean, but then I'm not gone for more than 2.5 minutes. My heart had only stopped for 2.5 minutes. So this is all happening in a matter of 2.5 minutes, yet it seemed like it was forever because he put me through 12 rooms of knowledge and told me different things about my life and what I was supposed to do and what I was here for and different things. And then I came out of it. And when I came to, you know, they were talking to me and everything, and they had this, like, I was still praying. I was still, like, I had my hands in prayer and looking at the vision, still seeing the vision. And they had, you know, like a psychiatrist come in and talk to me, and they notated that, you know, even though I was coherent and answering their questions correctly and stuff like that, I was still had my hands in prayer and I was still looking above their head as if I was seeing visions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they wanted to, one psychiatrist came in, said that she was going to have me locked up against my will. And I said, no, you're not. And being a vet, I called my psychiatrist at the VA and told him what had happened, and I had already told him what had been going on for the past 2 weeks. And so he talked to her and said, no, she's not homicidal, suicidal, or any other size, you know. So they really, they said, okay. But I did get put into a regular room after I got out of ICU, and I couldn't believe it. I kept lifting up my hospital gown, and I had the figure back that I had when I was in the military. And I kept telling my mom, look at my legs. Oh, my gosh, look at my legs. And then when they finally allowed me to shower and stuff, mm-hmm. and I washed my hair and dried off, my face glowed. I didn't wear makeup for 3 weeks. And it just glowed. And I was 12 pounds lighter, and this was only a matter of 2.5 days. 12 pounds lighter, had my figure back, my face just glowed, and I just kept talking about what God had said. And it got to the point to where I was telling so many people, though, and they kept thinking, I was looking at me kind of like I was crazy, that I quit doing it and just kind of kept it to myself and started talking. I did go to the bishop, and I did go to the have my IQ retested at ASU, and they say your IQ is supposed to change, yet mine went up 6 points. And so I was, you know, I was trying to research everything that had happened, and I did end up doing my thesis on near-death experiences for college. But on top of all of this, the gift that God had given me was that I was able to see spirit and hear voices. And so I was able to call the loved ones through and things like that. So this is when I started first heard about angel readings. I always heard about psychic readings and things like that, but I started doing angel readings, and so I do angel readings at my store and everything, and from what I get responses from when they email me back, I've really changed a lot of people's lives and healed a lot of people and stuff, so it's really awesome. But that comes to my store, you know, that I always wanted to own an angel store after that. And because I did see the gold, it was so beautiful over there. It was the colors, you can't even describe the colors. There's not a word for it, the different colors. we have colors and we have names for the colors, but they don't describe the kind of colors you see when you're on the other side.
From what I
flowers.
Right. And from what I experienced being a hospice and a psychic medium like yourself to deal with people and their death, the death of their loved ones, ladies and gentlemen, one of the books I've read that you might enjoy is anything by Dr. Melvin Morris. And he does have a website, and he has one of the largest accumulation of near-death experiences by children. And one of the first books I read, it was the early 90s, you kind of caught me off guard. There's one with children, and one of the boys had written to him and said, "My dear near-death experience, it was golden with a hint of pink." And another young woman who did pass over before she left, she said, "I've seen what it looks like, and everything is a softer hue, but very brilliant." So when you look at it, it's soft, not sharp. So
right.
I think that it's hard to explain it, but in my psychic eye, when I helped this young lady, I didn't help her. She was passing over, and I could see through her eyes. It's a brilliant color, but not sharp to the eyes. And there appears to be a lot of golden colors with a hint of pink. And that description is being told over and over and over. And that was one of the things I wanted Pam to speak to. And in the movie, What Dreams May Come, when Robin Williams passes over, he passes over and creates his own heaven, which a lot of us, if we have a theology or ideology that we're very close to, whether it's Catholicism or another, religious affiliation, or your wife's favorite painting, like Robin Williams, the colors in What Dreams May Come are very similar to what I see. And they're closer, not to the brilliance of the painting, but the color scheme of when he visits and is reintroduced to his daughter. So if you'll remember the movie, What Dreams May Come, the staircase going down to the river, and across the river is what it looks like, the city, but the city's being presented, and the colors there are very brilliant but very soft. And that's closer to what I see in my mind's eye when I see what we call the colors of heaven. But a lot of times I've talked to people, and from my own life experiences, when we pass over, we'll be given what we want to see, no matter what it is. And I've joked with you that I have a girlfriend that says when she goes to heaven, she wants to end up in her bed because it's all that white satin and white down and big pillows. That's her heaven. So as you listen to Pam's story and this amazing build-up to her amazing near-death experience and watching over her body and the afterward, not only healing, but the readjustment of her body to a more solid form so she could take on the readings. And all of this, it must be noted that we are presented our near-death experiences in so many different varied ways, but for someone to remember the impact of this, that she can relay and see the value of angel power. So with that, Pam, in summation, I would like you to say to the group that not only did you obtain amazing gifts of sight to see spirit people, angels, and receive messages, the one thing you didn't speak to is your healing abilities. And remember, we're not doctors, we're not attorneys or accountants. You can tell I worked for some attorneys for a while. But I do want to say that in this, we all have a healing ability of some sort. Mine is with my voice, and hers is with touch, or if I'm getting this right. What was the other gift that you got from your near-death experience? You shared it with me the other day. What happened to your boyfriend?
Well, he ended up, like I said, he was in a wheelchair for 12 years when I met him from a bicycle accident where he was hit by a truck, and he got it all in the head, so he had traumatic brain injury. And so that had paralyzed his right side of his body. Well, when I had rubbed my hands all over his body, and especially his legs and his one arm that didn't work, it somehow healed him, because within 2 weeks we were able to get him to walk with a walker for the first time in 12 years. He could stretch out his arm to grab a hold of the walker, and he could stand. And even though he walks very slow because he's got a brace on his leg, he's able to walk. You know, and this is a 6'6" man that sat in a wheelchair for 12 years because nobody either cared enough or said they were just it was just impossible that he would never walk again. And I didn't believe it. And God told me that that's not true. And so did everybody in my dream. And so he does still walk. We haven't been together for a few years, but he's still walking with the walker, and he uses an electric shuttle and stuff. And there was other things that we eventually did. His eyesight got better instead of wearing the Coke rim glasses. He didn't have slurred speech anymore. Quite a few things that had changed with him over the years that I stayed with him.
Yeah, and but so, then remember, we want to mention that you had put your hands on him. And
right,
so the universe had given you healing power. So we're not going to claim that she can do this for everybody. But I do believe
that. No, it was just something that they said that they'll show me. They said, I'll show you can do this, you know.
Yeah.
But,
that's very exciting.
You know, I do a massage in my store because I happen to sell a candle that turns into a massage oil. And so I'm always massaging people's hands. And I used to be a reflexologist and stuff like that. And people tell me, you know, that after I've rubbed them, you know, whether their neck, their back, or whatever, that my hands get so hot, you know, like when you do energy touch healing.
Sure.
Your hands get so hot. If you can bring that energy through, and that I've helped so many people that way, and same way with the readings. When I do a reading, I always hold the person because when I call in their loved ones, they're actually holding their loved one because their spirit comes through me, and so when their loved one speaks, they speak through me and to the person, and they're able to hold them and. It gives them such a sense of, you know, being able to hold their child or their mother or their father, or, you know, for the last time.
Absolutely.
Because they didn't get to because of a tragic accident or a sudden death or something, you know. And it's just been so many healings. I've had so many people bring in phenomenal pictures that have been taken of angels and right after someone's died and things like that, you know, whether it was at the funeral and orbs and things like that, it's been great. And the way I ended up with my store was that I was injured. I had wanted to buy the store, and it was bought by someone else. And so I worked there for 3 years, and then I got married. And 4 months into my marriage, I was injured in a freak accident. I had those Z-coil tennis shoes on, and a gardener we had hired for the day to load a tree we cut down had got the rope from the tarp caught around the spring of my shoe and pulled my legs out from under me. And when I fell, I bent the titanium rod in my back and took out my next two vertebrae. So they had to operate, and they took out the 6 screws and 2 rods, and they had to put 8 screws, 8 rods, and a steel cage in my back. And I woke up paralyzed. And so the first year and a half of my marriage, I was paralyzed. And it happened to be that we did divorce and remarry later on. But at the time that we divorced, I was paralyzed and just barely taken a few steps because I had dropped foot on both my feet. And so trying to, you know, do therapy and stuff like that with the bars and everything. And God got me out of that wheelchair, God and the angels, because the store came up for sale again. And I wanted that store so much. I really wanted it in my son's memory and to be able to help people. And it was just my life. I knew that that's what I was supposed to do. And God got me to walk again, and the angels helped me. My brother was in the hospital waiting for a heart transplant, and he told me to quit talking about it and do it. And I said, Dan, I can barely walk. I'm still on the walker. And he said, just do it. You could accomplish more than you know before, you know. And so he passed away. And the morning I buried him, In the afternoon, I bought the store. The next day, I opened on my grandmother's birthday, and I had my 87-year-old mother working with me in the store so that she wouldn't stay home and say it should have been her that passed instead of my brother. So we, since we both lost our sons, we put all of our love and our energy into the store to try to find to bring a place of peace and love, and where people can come out of the chaotic world and just come into the store for a few minutes and just find that peace and that serenity. And people say, I have accomplished that.
Wow, that's great.
Unfortunate part for me is that my health problems over the 2 years of working the store and stuff have gotten a little more intense for me, and I'm having to sell the store. So the store is up for sale. My lease runs out.
Give the name out again before we lose any more time. What's the name of the store?
Angel Wings and Other Fine Things, and it's 7121 East 5th Avenue, Suite 1 and 2.
And if they want to get hold of you, what phone number would they use?
602-402-7477, and the store number is 480-990-3136. But the first is my cell number.
That's great. Now, I want to repeat the phone number, everybody. If you want to get hold of Pam and do a reading, and we're going to give you a treat here. For some reason, my clock on my computer is not what the clock on the switchboard says. We have 18 minutes left. But I want to give you Pam's phone number. Her store is for sale. She will continue doing readings in Scottsdale, Arizona. And her number is 602-402-7477. I'm sure she does phone readings like I do, so if you want a unique reading, and just to have fun, we do have some people. Curiosity has called in on the 215 area code. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, we have 18 minutes left on the answer. We have three on the hold. So let's give you a couple minutes each and see if we can help you. Curiosity, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Well, hello there, girl. And what state are you calling from?
Pennsylvania.
You stay up late. These kids stay up so
late.
And I saw your note in the chat room. Boy, talk about, you know, death and dying and people. Let me see. What did you write in here? I used to be scared of dying, but after getting older and hearing on these great near-death experiences, I'm not afraid at all. Same with me. Every day, I talk to people. I help people with a spouse that has passed on, and Pam here who lost a child. So sometimes just living life and being in presence of people, even with our mother dying last month, my sister said she was glowing just half hour before she passed, and everybody knew she was leaving. Curiosity, what can we do for you tonight? Do you have a question for our special guest tonight?
Yes. What is this regarding my father? I really don't have a relationship with him, and I just found out last night that he attempted suicide. He's going through a lot, which is one of the reasons why I step back. I don't want to get into everything, but I'm just wondering if he's going to come out of this or...
Now, he did not, he tried to commit suicide.
But he didn't succeed, yeah. No.
I want Pam to answer this, but everybody, you know, I really have such a belief in the divine, and I do believe that you are not going to leave unless it's the timing, so whether an act of suicide works or not is based on your time schedule also, even though Sylvia Brown says we can leave if nothing else is to be learned. I do believe that there will be a lot of learning with this man and a woman with brown hair, whether it's you or mom, I can't tell. But sometimes we can be stuck with the results of a suicide that is not supposed to work. But I would like Pam to go ahead and give a little input to this. Pam, what would you like to say to this young lady?
Well, that's true, too. And, you know, one of the things we do is when we sign our sacred contracts, we do pick the way that we're going to go. Now, but depending on what time, you know, we have three times that we can leave to go back. And the angels are telling me, Curiosity, that you should try to establish a relationship with him, even if it's not as deep as it would have been, you know, throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
But does he have a lot of alcoholism in his background?
No. His father was an alcoholic. He doesn't drink.
Okay.
Due to that.
Okay. And any addictions?
No, my mother. He's put up with a lot with my mother. She had all those addictions.
Okay, because I'm getting that there's an addiction there in his life, mm-hmm. and it may be very well that he's living with it. That's why he's within. So if you can try to get him to an Al-Anon program and also mm-hmm. try to spend some time with him to try to see that he can't control her at all, but he mm-hmm. can control his own destiny.
Okay.
And so that and ask the angel Raphael to help him
mm-hmm.
to see and to be able to heal what's bothering him. But those
okay.
the program Al-Anon is for people that live with people that have addictions, and
okay.
it's to help them learn how they take care of them, their own lives, and not have to worry about the others.
Pam, curious, I'd like to add something, and I hate mm-hmm. to have to hurry, but we do need to do this. Pam, thank you for your input, and like I said, Pam is connected to the angel levels to help us. You didn't say where your father lived, but I'd like to put one more thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad shows me a lot of tears in his eyes, and
yeah.
you already said that he had a father with alcoholism and mother. The wife was addiction, but he wants me to think that he's a martyr, that he has put up with it and he sacrificed his own life for these people. Irregardless,
oh.
he needs to be validated. So I'd like you to do something for me, is wherever he lives, whatever he does, I can see the journey of your life, Dad. I know it's been hard. Let you know that even though we've never had a relationship, that my love for you has never ceased. And
okay.
even if you write that on a card and mail it to him, at least he has some validation that someone noticed what went wrong and that what he did in his life. And that will be very important to him. Always remember, ladies and gentlemen, the spoken word can be forgotten 10 seconds, so the written word is forever.
Mm-hmm.
So as she said, I think that what Pam picked up is that he needs validation. He needs connection to the people that are left in his life. I don't
mm-hmm.
know that he wanted the suicide to work as much as he was trying to get attention.
Yeah.
All right, Pam, thank
okay,
you. And curiosity, we're going to let
so
you go,
much.
Girl.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so we want to go to area code 203. Okay, and 203, who are we speaking to tonight?
Hello, my name is Woody.
Oh, Woody, hello, sir. And how are we going to help you tonight?
I'm just wondering, I'm trying to pursue a career, me and my friend and I, in music. I was wondering, how are we going to succeed at doing that?
And he is in Connecticut. Pam, he has a friend that he and his friend are in music, and he wants to know how he's going to be doing.
Has he already started making the albums and CDs?
Well, yeah. We had sent my cousin in the music business. We sent him a demo last year, and he wanted 3 more songs. One was done. We just need to tweak what instruments I guess mastered, and then we're going to try to resend it.
All right.
Did you get that? That's great.
That's a great start. It's just going to be word of mouth at the beginning, but that once it gets going, you know, make sure you send them out to radio stations and things like that so that they can try to get the song on the air and get people to vote on whether they like it or not, and different ways you can go about doing that. And the angels are there to help you with it, so make sure that you ask them, because they can't intercede unless you ask for their help, unless it's a matter of life and death. So just make sure that you ask the angels. If you can't remember the name, just ask Archangel Michael or Archangel M, and they'll point you in the right direction and send the right angel to you. But just remember to make sure that you clarified everything, that you've tried to get a lot of maybe free concerts out there, everything that you can do to publicize and advertise yourself.
Okay.
I think I heard you say something that I really clicked into, a free contest. Like if you, like she was saying, something free, you know, I don't know if you're going to have that was a really good, I don't know what she picked up exactly, but she said something about a free concert. Now, what I picked up is to get most people, like you guys are all calling me, and you know I do this for a living, and I know Pam does it for a living. We're getting our services free tonight. So I find a huge number of people calling me free, even off hours. So what if you offered free something, a free concert, a free bar mitzvah, a free demo, you know, tapes, do a free contest, two people can listen to you in the studio. If you put those in newspapers, that always gets people's attention. Because there's nothing better as advertising if someone thinks they're going to get something for free.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay, and call on the angels. I don't know which one she picked up for you, but it might be just Clinton's, there's two Michaels. And Michael's the strongest of them all. And
right.
Sometimes even if you don't need the help, as in desperate, what they'll do is they'll line up the people. Some people say, Nancy, how many Michaels can show up? I think that they have an army. And so one person sees the energy of need, then they direct the spirit people that's going to be for them, and you need it because you have a low self-esteem and you don't think you can make it. So the angel people are going to see that and direct the people to you. Got it?
What angel, Michael, you said?
Yeah, Michael's the strongest one.
Okay.
It just happens that we had two Michaels
in
the
row. He can be with everybody at the same time.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, hey,
Drake, you have a good night.
You too.
All right, guy. He's called us a couple times and called me at the... people had the greatest names. I couldn't understand. I was trying to think of all kinds of names, old foreign names, and it was, oops, my screen disappeared. Hold on, everybody. That's scary. Okay, so area code 831, and who's this speaking?
Hi, this is Christina. Can you hear me?
Hello, Christina, and you're from California?
Yes, I am.
Well, hello. And we have Pam on tonight. And we have 9 minutes left, even though my clock, I'm not sure, we're Blog Talk Radio. I don't know where the clock is running twice as fast, everybody. I hope it's, I don't even know what time it is. Mine says 15 after 8. So.
I have the same time here.
Huh?
I have the same time there.
Yeah.
Yeah, something's wrong with Blog Talk. So, Christina, I'd love to hear your voice. You're so cheery. So give us your
Thank
question,
you.
Girl, and let Pam give some information to you.
Thank you. I was wondering if there's any messages from my angels that have been with me since birth or new ones that are coming in, like what they have to say to me about my spiritual path and if I'm on the right path.
Perfect, Pam.
Well, from what I'm getting, Christina, you need to start doing some morning pages and some journaling. First thing when you wake up in the morning, you just write, get yourself a cup of coffee or something and go sit in your favorite place, and you write 3 pages.
Okay.
And that's when you're closest to your higher power, and it's also close when you've just returned from astral travel. You write 3 pages, even if it's just random thoughts or I don't know what to write, because eventually your higher power will take over after about a page and a half. You write 3 pages every day. Don't read it for about 2.5 to 3 weeks, and then go back and read them and see what keeps coming up. But this is going to be a really good way for you to get in contact with your angels, too. You can do automatic writing also that way. But they're saying that you definitely need to do some writing and that it might end up that you're going to be penning an article or writing a book.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yes, I'm actually doing that now. It's been heavy on my mind because it's about what I'm going through.
Yay.
And I just want to help people. I don't want anyone to feel the way that I felt, so I just want to speak to people's hearts and souls and share my experiences and hope to accomplish 4 things, validate, heal, guide, and support. If I can do that, then it was worth it.
Well, that's
sounds
awesome.
Familiar, Pam.
Best of luck. Yeah.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much. You guys have a
You're
wonderful
welcome.
Evening.
You too, dear.
Thank you.
Hold on. Wait. Talk about having a favorite cup of coffee. There's my voice again. The allergy. It looks like I'm just now looking in the chat room. I'm sorry to miss some of the questions. Somebody's having trouble with the marriage. I'm happily married. Oh, you're happily married. That's great. Oh, then the sound goes. So I know it's hard. If someone's sound goes during the show in the future, try to do the F5 button. Press once and see if it doesn't come back. See if it then comes back. Sorry for the typing here. So that's let's see here. We do have mine restarted. Great. Do you have sound, Tom? Oh boy, we got more trouble in the Blog Talk room. So I want to go to thank you, Christine, for calling. And we do have a 601 area code. Who's this speaking?
Hello.
Hello, 601. What's your name?
I was calling in to listen because my sound wasn't working.
Oh, you want to just, oh, and whom are you in the chat room?
I'm Quithilia.
Oh, hello there. So I'm sorry that you had trouble with your sound. F5 button.
Okay.
Try that. I don't mind keeping you in here. And you can just visit with us, listen to it while we close up the shop here in 5 minutes. So just hold on, please.
Okay.
Go ahead, dear. Hold on a minute. I'm trying to see if this person hung up. Okay. Well, Pam, before the evening, we got 4 minutes left. I want to make sure that people know that you are interested in finding someone who'd be interested in an angel shop in Scottsdale, Arizona, and that's connected to Phoenix. But I want to make sure that they have a phone number. And I apologize. I think you said you do not have a website at the moment, or you do?
I have a virtual tour where it's at www.scottsdale5thave.scottsdale5thavenue.org. And you can just go to that and go to the directory and find Angel Wings and other fine things, and then scan over onto the virtual tour, and it will open up and it'll show a virtual tour of the store.
Oh, great. And just so people can keep connected to you, whether you sell the store or not, you will keep this number. You will work out of your residence. Don't give your residence over the air. So they would have to connect with you for a phone number. And her phone number, again, everybody, is area code 602-402-7477. And I want to thank her very much for coming. Again, ladies and gentlemen, my website is nancymatz.net. And Thursday night, I'll be doing a show again with my sister, Bonnie. And we come on the same time, 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. And our website is www.blogtalkradio.com/psychic-sisters-talk. And everything is going great with both of us. I want you to know that I'm making connections with the radio station in the downtown Phoenix area, so I'll have another place for you to come and visit with me. So this is public radio, and it will be Saturday, late afternoon, early evening. Not sure if I'm going to do 1 or 2 hours. So if you're interested in knowing about that, I will have it on my front page of nancymatz.net, probably within this week after I sign a contract and so on and so forth. So it's been a lot of fun, and I'm not sure what's happening, but we have only 2 minutes left. Pam, how about your last 2 minutes? What would you say about yourself to encourage people to want to visit with you?
Well, the one thing that happened in the near-death experience is that you go through a lot of changes. So if you meet people that have had near-death experiences, notice or talk to them, see if they say that they've gone through a lot of changes. Mine was definitely spiritual, and I found myself going to, like, Medjugorje, Bosnia. In 2004, I took my 85-year-old mother to Medjugorje, Bosnia, and I had a blessing there when I climbed to the top of Medjugorje, and this is where all the children appeared to, I mean, Blessed Mother Mary appeared to 6 children. And I climbed to the top of that, and when I came down, we left for Rome, and the next day happened to be my birthday, and we went to the Sistine Chapel, and my mother collapsed in the Sistine Chapel and had to have a pacemaker put in Rome. And I was able to do everything needed to get her back to the States alive and well, and translating her transcripts into Italian from English and everything in 3 weeks in Italy. So that was quite a blessing. And then several people that have come into the store have come in with one girl happened to have been trying to get pregnant for many, many years and wasn't able to get pregnant. She had an angel reading with me. And after this reading, during the reading, I told her that she to relax and to just let it come easily. Within 2 weeks, she was pregnant. And so she sent me and had it. She had a beautiful baby girl. She sent me the picture and everything. And it really does. The people, they may come out crying, but the emotional change that goes through is just phenomenal. It's like weights are lifted off their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really been a spiritual journey and a spiritual pathway, and I'm learning more every single day, and it's if I look back to how my life used to be before this happened, it's like two different people. I mean, I can't even imagine that I did the things that I used to do compared to what I do now and the spiritual pathway that it's brought me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you, Pam, for coming on tonight. We have 12 seconds left, everybody, 9 seconds, the countdown for another week. So do join us next week. I'll be back on track Monday. And I may have my sister Bonnie come, and we'll do readings together like we did last week. We had a wonderful turnout. I think we had 20 people trying to call in, and it was very, very exciting. Thank you, dear Pam, for coming,
and we'll talk again.
All right, everybody, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, Nancy.